You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Studio 5 relationship contributor Dr. Matt Townsend has been sharing his advice with us since season 1. It's now season 18, if you're counting, and he and I still have our weekly relationship chats, and I love it every time we do. We feel lucky that we can continue to draw upon his extensive knowledge and experience, and today we're really squeezing it. We're really taking advantage of it. You submitted your own personal relationship questions for Dr. Matt. The questions, I'll say, are pretty vulnerable. They're personal, even a little complicated, but there's no one we trust more to give us guidance. Matt is joining me for this on-the-spot Q&A. You're not even phased.
No, this is actually exciting.
This is fun.
This is super fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's scary, well, because I don't know
you
exactly.
Don't know.
But I'm excited.
This is what you do every day. And actually, I sometimes find that our best moments together, I would say, over the last 18 years aren't planned, are off script. So here we go.
They're usually very memorable.
Buckle up, baby. Okay, viewer says this. My kids are still around and they're busy, so how can I stay close to my husband? This isn't my question, but it could be.
Well, get rid of the kids.
Okay. There's move one.
Kids are still around. Okay, and so, by the way, the neat thing about this is you've only got 20 years, 18 years with them, mm-hmm. right? So this too shall pass. Mm. And then the longest relationship you'll have is the husband one, mm-hmm. except for the one you'll have by yourself. Mm. You'll have about 5 hours with this guy a day once those kids go. So we got to take really good care of it. What I would do at first is I'd sit down with my partner. I'd say, do we want to take our relationship to the next level? Do we want to make sure it lasts? Mm-hmm. And I would make a commitment or a covenant together that we've already made the promises to get here. We've already brought the kids here. Now let's figure out and start focusing on how we're going to grow us. Mm-hmm. And then it's very basic. You just need time. You generally need talk. You need touch. You need the right tone. And if you'll just kind of get those four things in, so I would institute a date night.
Okay.
I would get the kids to bed earlier, whatever time you can, I'd get them earlier, and I'd make sure you have 1 to 2 hours alone.
Okay.
I'd turn off interruptions. Yeah. Uh-huh. The date night, I beat that idea up, but I beat it up because it's tried and tested. Time, that's where you have time. It's where you have talk. It's where you have touch. And it's where you have the right tone in the conversation,
yeah.
right?
Okay.
So I would make the time, but I'd make it a very overt, specific act that we're going to do this intentionally.
We're dedicated.
And we are going to be each other's best friends forever.
I love that. I love that. All right. This next question kind of speaks to the other side of the coin. An empty nester needs help.
Yes.
She said, what's your advice for an empty nest couple living in a sexless marriage because of lack of connection? So there's an intimacy issue here.
So by the way, that could be this other relationship in 20 years.
Sure.
If we don't focus on it and take time on it. One of the things that we generally notice precedes every marital issue is a communication issue,
That's
a communication
first.
Breakdown.
Yeah.
So generally we create closeness by vulnerability, and nothing generally creates more vulnerability in a marriage than sex issues or power issues or just a lack of being seen or heard. So I would probably spend some time learning to talk. Again, I'd make a very overt act that, look, I want to be more close to you. And I'd frame it that I want more closeness. Not that we don't have sex. I'd frame it like, I want more connection and touch and closeness to you. Mm-hmm. So can we take some time and start learning to talk? Can we take some time and start learning to have just the good old ways we used to have it? Whatever used to create connection, which was probably just listening to each other, laughing with each other, going on dates with each other. That stuff will work again. And then let's communicate and find out what's really stopping us. If you're not having sex and intimacy in your marriage, there's a reason. And you probably want to go a lot deeper than the sex talk mm-hmm. and go deeper into figuring out what's really going on. Because it's probably somewhere we violated that we don't feel loved, mm-hmm. we don't feel capable, we don't feel like we belong, or we don't feel like we're safe.
So get to the root of the issue.
You gotta go communicate a lot deeper, and then generally get more space and time together, like we talked about with the first question.
Yeah.
And when you do that, a lot of times things naturally get better.
Good answer, good question,
thanks.
Brave question. All right, this next viewer asks, how do I maintain sibling relationships when dealing with matters of inheritance?
Holy cow.
You
know what?
This can get
big.
Sticky.
Yeah, this gets sticky. And can I just let you in on a secret?
What's that?
anytime you have an inheritance breakdown, it might be because the inheritors, is that what they are? The people that are given the money that mm-hmm. have passed on mm-hmm. didn't make it clear enough. Mm. So if parents out there and families out there don't want their kids to fight about inheritance, then the parents have to step up and be way more overt.
Yeah.
And we need to have a meeting. We need to
ahead of time
and say, look, this is how it's all going down.
That's hard,
I know.
Sad,
what's more uncomfortable is having your kids hate each other because mom and dad didn't clarify stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'd have that conversation early. I'd also, because once everybody understands what's happening, mm-hmm. Then I'd even make sure, because stuff happens when money is involved.
You know what? I was just talking to a girlfriend not too long ago, and she said, we were the closest family. I never would have thought we were in this position, and there isn't even a lot to fight over.
Right.
But here we are.
Yeah.
You know, that grief takes over and it does something weird.
Yeah. How come you get grandma's vase?
Right.
I want grandma's vase.
Right.
So we fight over a vase.
Yeah.
But a lot of this can be fixed ahead of time by just communicating a lot more clearly. And then in the fact, one of the things I'd actually get in very clearly is what matters most to you? Mm. Now, a lot of people want fairness. Fairness is what matters. The problem with it is sometimes in these situations, one person doesn't see fairness like the other person sees fairness. And so I would just get really clear, what are your values and what really matters most to you? Because it might not be worth blowing everything up for a vase.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't seem fair or even if you love the vase. So
yeah.
communicate, and get help if you don't know how to communicate. I sit down with a lot of families and we have these great moments.
Like in a mediation type setting.
And we just get them talking.
All right, we have 1 minute left.
Yeah.
One more quick question. It's pretty straightforward, but I think relatable for many women. She simply said, I need help dealing with my anxiety. We use this term so often, and it does apply to so many people, especially women. What's the first starting point on that path?
First of all, I'd recognize if you have anxiety. If you've been clinically diagnosed, and I think we really are over-diagnosing.
Uh-huh.
I think there are other causes that we're not even looking at, but I'd go try to figure out you. There's other stuff that could be at play, which is situations that are just hitting us, but it's also high sensitivity could be another one. But another thing that is, I think, the universal key to anxiety is awareness, knowing that you have it, and then processing it by learning to breathe better, by thinking better, by reframing stuff better. There are a lot of classes and workshops and skills and tools, and I would always go to all the tools before you start with the meds.
Okay.
And then try to realize that it is a part of life, but it doesn't have to be a part of a bad life.
Yeah.
It could be a great part of your life.
You're great. Matt, thank you.
Thank you.